So there's a few things going on here. The first is like a lot of these terms, unfortunately, have become very denigrated, like coaching, like consulting, even copywriting or design. Like they don't mean anything to anyone anymore. And the thing that a lot of people make mistakes about and the reason that they're not standing out is because they sound like everybody else. You're positioning yourself as very generic. You know, if everything in your bio is I, first of all, you're not talking to your audience. But secondly, people use these terms like seasoned, veteran, experienced, thought leader, all of these things that I joke are just these filler words that don't do anything to separate you from the pack. You can put veteran in your bio if you've served in the military, and seasoning is for chicken cutlets.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where we give you the best advice, the best strategies, the best tools, and the leading edge experts in how to establish yourself as a leader in your field. And today I am thrilled to introduce you to Danielle Hughes. She is the Chief Personality Officer of More Than Words Marketing, where she helps individuals and companies develop their genuine personality brand. And this allows you to own and embody your message, feel comfortable expressing yourself, and convey what makes you different from your competition so that you can attract the right audience and repel the wrong ones. And today, Danielle and I are going to talk about how do you stand out, you know, in a crowded market. There are a lot of people out there who are touting their wares as coaches or consultants or service providers of all flavors. And it's really hard to stand out and be different. So welcome, Danielle. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Thank you so much, Deb. I'm thrilled to be here.
Fantastic. So let's dive right in. The first question we usually ask is, what is your life after corporate story? I know you had a corporate position at one point in time. What made you leave? And how long ago was that?
Well, so like many people, I left corporate not out of my own volition. I was summarily fired. And it was 2009, so 14 years ago. I had a long corporate career in television marketing. I worked for ABC, I worked for Oxygen, I worked for Discovery Channel. And then I decided that I was going to take a job at another network as the director of marketing. And when they brought me in, and I'm sure this will sound familiar to so many women, they told me they wanted me to speak my mind and shape things up. And we can all know what happens when you open your mouth and shake things up. They say, whoa, 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 we didn't actually mean that. And there's the door. So
it didn't end well.
No, I did not gel with my boss. And a lot of what I do now with my clients, which we'll get into, is like, how do you position yourself to find the right fit of any role or any client? And I think back then, you know, everybody's resume was generic. This was pre-LinkedIn. You can imagine that. And I didn't probably interview in the way that set myself up to find the right environment. And it just wasn't a good fit. So I was an accidental entrepreneur. And my journey quickly went from being a freelance copywriter, because that was my discipline, into, you know, being very fortunate to have referrals, and I had work from previous like colleagues, until one day I didn't.
Right, that is how it goes. Oh my god, if you and I had only known each other, our stories are so parallel. You know, it worked for me until it didn't, and it really surprised me when actually I chose to leave my job, but I interviewed at other places and nobody hired me. I was like, what? I am like really excellent at what I do. What do you mean you don't want me?
Yeah.
And it's very disconcerting. But I think this is such a timely conversation because there are a lot of people right now who have either decided to leave their jobs or the decision was made for them. And they're considering hanging out that shingle. And that's what happens. You know, you get kind of this false sense of security when you have those early warm referrals and all those connections that are throwing people your way until it eventually dries up and you have to do your own marketing. So let's talk about, you know, starting with the transition from corporate and, you know, how do you position yourself as a go-to expert, whether you are looking for a job or whether you're looking for clients to work with as freelance?
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I think you hit the nail on the head with the marketing piece. You know, I think, you know, a lot of us leave when we take for granted that we have these networks, and we do, and they're not to be diminished. And, you know, I always say the women network is strong. We all want to help each other. But I wasn't networking. I wasn't marketing. I was just sitting back and letting things come to me. And there's zero control in that. I did not take control of my own career. I had no idea who I even wanted to work with. I just knew that I wanted to work. And so the focus now is, yes, you want to stand out as an expert, but you also need to define who you are and what it's going to be like to work with you. Because the thing that's going to create return clients and customers is personality fit, is comfort with these people. Yes, people will come back to you because you're an expert in what you do, but they want to enjoy working with you and they want to establish that relationship and that rapport. And that can only happen when you put some infusion of personality into your bio and your messaging that sends a sense of who you are as a person and not just the skills that you are bringing to the table.
And I know for me on that journey, that felt really uncomfortable, especially when you're like an introvert and a lot of women that I meet sort of discount their value and discount their impact. And part of that is that, you know, corporate world, the corporate culture isn't to really highlight an individual as being, you know, oh my God, you're so fantastic. I can't believe what you've done here. You've really turned things around. They're like, okay, you got your bonus. You know, and like, what are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we're, first of all, women aren't lauded in society in general. Second, the corporate world doesn't reinforce you as being special. They want you to fit in and be a good team player. So it's uncomfortable. So how do you do that? Because I'm sitting here listening to you thinking, oh my God, I wouldn't know where to begin or what to say. So how do you work with people on that?
Yeah. So I have a distinction between personal brand and what I call personality brand, right? And to your point, you know, everybody thinks, oh, personal brand, I have to share everything about myself. And that's uncomfortable for anyone, even if you're an extrovert. Like, so much of my life is nobody's business.
Right. It's just wrong to share that much.
Correct, right? It's not, we don't need to. This is a societal, like, travesty. But if you don't share something of who you are, you can't build connection, right? When you're not in the workplace and you can't go up to someone's desk and ask how their weekend was, or you can't see that what they're doing for fun, there's no way to build connection. So the baby step in personality brand is, what is the hobby or the passion that you love to do that you will talk to anybody about? Like, you're stuck in an elevator with a random stranger and you need to talk to someone for an hour. What are you talking about? What do you love to talk about? What lights you up? What is going to like shift all of your body energy and everything into just exuberance because you can't wait to talk to someone about it? And that's the little piece. And you just put that into your bio. You can put it at the end of your LinkedIn headline. You can put it at the bottom of your bio. But you have to say something about, like, when I'm not working, you can find me doing X. Right. I talk about wine. I talk about weightlifting. And I will tell you that 99% of people that reach out to me mention one of those two things. And it's not even that they need to do either of those things or enjoy them. It starts the conversation on a personal level. as opposed to starting the conversation on a professional level. And then you're just uncomfortable and tense. And when you can start it on a personal level, you're more relaxed. And then you can get into the business stuff.
Yeah. So what are some of the mistakes? Let's bring it back to solopreneurs, because you and I are both solopreneurs. We have, you know, fractional team members that work for us. So as a solopreneur, how do you apply the personality brand so that you can stop the scroll, right? So most people who leave corporate start either a consulting or a coaching business. Some type of business where they're packaging their expertise and selling it to other people. And coaching is mainstream, which is fabulous, because now companies, it's just part of the normal way of doing business to hire coaches for your leaders to help them grow and perform better in their roles. And the same is true for individuals and consulting, but it's a crowded market and there's a lot of choices out there. So how do you use personality brand to stand out in a crowded market?
So there's a few things going on here, right? The first is like a lot of these terms, unfortunately, have become very denigrated, right? Like coaching, like consulting, even copywriting or design, like they don't mean anything to anyone anymore. And the thing that a lot of people make mistakes about and the reason that they're not standing out is because they sound like everybody else. You're positioning yourself as very generic. You know, if everything in your bio is I, first of all, you're not talking to your audience. But secondly, people use these terms like seasoned, veteran, experienced, thought leader, all of these things that I joke are just these filler words that don't do anything to separate you from the pack. You can put veteran in your bio if you've served in the military. Seasoning is for chicken cutlets. It's just, you know, it's just coded language for old. Find another way to talk about the depth of your expertise than having to use those sort of terminology.
We're talking about how to stand out, how to stop the scroll. Most people, you know, miss the mark when they're describing themselves, describing their expertise, and sound like everyone else in their industry. And the same is true, like when you're doing social posts or you're doing long form posts. Mm-hmm. And when you said the personality brand, what it made me think of was, as I look back at my LinkedIn analytics, whenever I have told a personal story, and I think you always give me a high five behind the scenes when I do that, because that's what gets people engaged. Like even as a business coach, people want to know, like, what's life inside the store? You know, what's life like behind the scenes? So I think that was such an important point, is not to make it all about you, because it really is all about them.
But it is about you, but it's in service of them. So when you are being vulnerable and you're sharing something about behind the scenes or how the sausage is made, you are showing something that people can relate to. That then makes them think, oh, she is like me and I want to find out more. So that little bit of vulnerability, and again, this is, you got to baby step into this. Nobody's saying dive right in and just open up your heart and spill it, but we have to show relatability. And one of the great ways to do this and to get back to stop the scroll is, so many of us don't open with our why. And I don't mean your why as in like some grand purpose of how you're going to save the world, but why are you doing what you're doing? Like, think back on your childhood. Like, was there something that happened that defined how you think? Have you always been doing X, Y, and Z since you were born? Is there something that you can speak to and tell the story and get people sucked into the story? That is so much more compelling if you start saying, you know, ever since I was X years old, I've been blah, 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 than if you say, I have 30 years of experience in just this and this, because everybody can say that. Right. So that the personal story makes it compelling, makes it relatable, and makes it more likely that people will read. And then you can get into, going back to the woman thing, then you can get into bragging. You should be advocating for yourself. You should be talking about your successes and your wins, because again, they're in service of, if you did this for someone else, you can do this for your clients. And so if you don't share that, they don't know how you can help them.
So what gets in the way of people being able to tell a compelling story about themselves?
Fear, right? fear of rejection, fear of not being like everybody else. And then I also think a lot of people, they don't put the pieces together. So when I work with a lot of my clients and I probe and I let them tell me stories, it's like, why do you do what you do? Tell me how you think. The reason I ask for the hobbies and the passions is because for most of us, how we approach our hobbies is actually how we approach our jobs. It's the same thought process. So if you are someone who, let's say, likes to hike, how you like to go about that, how you do your research, the type of hiking you like to do, there is something about that way you think about that that you probably do inside your job. And if you're really researching places to go, you're probably research oriented in your job. There's things like that you can share that weave together that then, again, makes it more interesting. And maybe we'll remove the fear piece because it's just more interesting for people to know about. And it's just so much easier to write about when you can make it relatable to everyone else and show people, again, like how the sausage is made. Like, why do I think the way I think? So I have a client recently and she does systems change and process improvement. I mean, couldn't be more boring, honestly. Like her LinkedIn profile is what I call jargon salad. It's all the fancy jargony terms that don't mean anything. And it's just like, you could just pick them out and they don't mean anything. They don't tell her story. But she told me that she is a connoisseur of vinyl. She loves to collect vintage records. So I was like, okay, tell me more. And she's like, you know, I go into record stores and I like to hunt for these deep cuts or these special gems. And I was like, okay, now we have something, because you get a visual, right? The minute I tell you that she's collecting vintage records, you have a visual of her in a store sifting through the record bins. And so if you are someone who works in process improvement and like systems, you are hunting for ways to make those systems better and more improved and efficient. And those two things are directly related. So now her bio talks about, you know, just like hunting for a deep cut in a record store, her work is always on the way for finding these improvements or these processes that are going to make everything better. I mean, it's just, and that's so much more interesting.
Yeah, it's more interesting. And it also creates that visual of, oh, yeah, so this is the benefit of working with her.
Correct.
I think that we simply don't see ourselves clearly. We just don't. And yeah. And I think it's so important to use other people as mirrors. So what you did was you held up a mirror to her. Yes. And said, you know, tell me about your personal life. And you got me thinking too, because I just love to cook. And it was so funny. I started cooking as a passion when I was miserable in my corporate job, and Saturday mornings I would watch the Food Network and I would just like make stuff. I would make the recipes. And then you get to a point where you can adapt the recipe to add your own flavor to it. And I think it's similar to when you start a business, you want to kind of follow the rules. And then, of course, to stand out, you need to be different.
Yes, you need to dabble. You need to play around. You need to see what flavors go together, right? Some things, like in a recipe, it's going to ruin the recipe. And then there's that one thing that you're going to do that's going to transform it and make it the most amazing thing.
Right. And being nimble and have substitutions on hand, because I make complicated recipes. I don't always have all the ingredients. You know? That's so fascinating. And now I have two questions for you. The first one is, how does that apply to you? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your personality brand? What makes you different from all the other people who are branding experts or copywriting experts out there?
I mean, I think my personality brand is I get to help people to be more themselves. You know, that is literally what I do. But my brand is I am unapologetic. I am brash. I will curse. I like to have a glass of wine. I am that like fierce, loyal, supportive friend in your corner who is going to keep hammering how amazing you are when you don't believe how amazing you are. Like, I will be that defender in your corner.
You're like the amazing truth teller girlfriend who's like always by your side.
Correct. You want. And I'm going to say things. Yeah, but I'm also going to say things you probably don't want to hear. Right. But that's just okay, right? And the beauty of all of this is like, I don't need to be for everyone. I don't want everyone to like me. Like, I don't want people to dislike me. But you either completely respond to my message or you don't. Like, to me, it's a hell yes or it's a no. There's no in between. And 90% of the people that come to have a conversation with me are, oh my God, I love everything you say. I love your profile. I love this. You are my person. Like, it's already decided because I'm so myself.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for.
And that helps you avoid those conversations, you know, and it's happened to me a couple of times in my career where, you know, you're pouring your heart and soul into someone who's a new connection. You're exploring working together. And at the end of the conversation, they say, well, this is really good. I have two other coaches that I'm going to talk to. And so I'll get back to you. And so what you just said kind of obliterates that entire conversation. Is like, you are my person, because I want people who are a hell yes or a hell no. You know, let's not waste our time if you're not resonating with how I approach things or what I have to say.
Agreed. I think that this was really good, but is like the killer. But also, like, that's freeing you up now. They're not for you, right? And so let them go look for someone else. They may come back. Right. But it also allows someone to reflect and say, okay, why didn't that go a hell yes? Like, did I hold something back? Did I not connect? Or are we just not a fit and we're not aligned in the way that we want to go about things? Because at the end of the day, it's a personality fit, but they also have to align with how you do your job and what your process is and what you're going to deliver for them. And every coach consultant is going to be a little bit different. It's not cookie cutter.
No, it's not cookie cutter. So one of the things that everybody is talking about these days, like ChatGPT and AI and using these tools to write your blogs, and I know you write blogs for people as well, and it creeps me out for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, these chatbots are pulling available information off the internet, right? And I'm worried about IP infringement. I'm worrying about, you know, a lot of generic content out there. I like to invent terms like return on advantage and trademark them because, you know, that's something that I stand behind. That's something I believe in. That's how I stand out. And you can't really do that if you're using those kind of tools. Yeah, they are helpful in some way. So what's your take on using AI to write your profile or create a blog or create?
Yes. I mean, definitely do not use AI to write your profile. I think it can be helpful. Like, I play around with it. If I'm doing a talk and I want to play around with some subheads for the talk, I do find that sometimes it's really good for that. And I'll never take anything literally, but sometimes it'll stimulate another idea and say, oh, like, oh, there's a word that actually I really want to use. I think it's great for an outline. If you tell it, I want to write a blog post on this topic, can you maybe give me some sections or what are some things I should talk about? But at the end of the day, if you are using it, you know, solely and not putting your own spin on it, it's going to sound exactly like what somebody else is going to put out there. And that's not thought leadership. That's thought followership, right? And so if you want to be...
Ooh, I like that. Thought followership. Not thought leadership. I love that.
Thank you. Right. If you want to be a thought leader, it has to be in your voice, right? And so I'm not saying don't use it for research. I'm not saying it can't find you sources or things that you want to talk about, but it has to be your own spin. I never would have come up with personality brand as opposed to personal brand if I had used ChatGPT. It just came to me one day, and then I started writing more and more about it, and people started resonating with it. And like that initial newsletter post that I wrote, I didn't know it was going to become my whole company. I just thought it was a throwaway idea. And so if I hadn't invested the time to think through this and other people hadn't responded, who knows what I would have done. But I think AI is fine for efficiency and for some fun and for some side help, but it cannot be 100% of everything that you do. Otherwise, you will not stand out at all. You'll have no unique voice.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm a huge fan of what Kelly Roach calls conviction marketing, right? So anyone can write a how-to post. Anyone can write a happy post or something inspirational mm-hmm. quotes and all that. But what are you convicted about? You know, and I think those are the things that really make you stand out. People you know, give people something to think about and take notice on.
Yes.
So,
and I think you can be convicted about different things at different times.
Right.
Like, you know, convicted, ranting, whatever you want to call it, right? There's a lot to be angry about right now in the world. There's a lot to be frustrated about. There's a lot to be impassioned about. And, you know, I always feel like if you're not clear on who you are and what you're putting out there, that's why a lot of people don't talk about those sort of things, because they feel like they don't know how to explain their position on things. But if you are so sure in your brand and in your message, you can do that. And you know, there may be some people that, you know, don't follow you, or there's some backlash, but that's okay. Because again, those are not your people.
Yeah, absolutely. What is some of the most memorable content that you've seen or that you've created that you just thought was fantastic?
I mean, you know, I think to your point, the vulnerability posts tend to be the most amazing. It's not the most memorable, but speaking of like rants and things that I posted yesterday, I got an ad delivered from CVS to my inbox promoting tampons and pads with the typical headline of confident and fresh. And we've all seen this our entire life. This has been the message of feminine care.
So I was 12.
Correct. And frankly, I lost my, and I was like, I'm done. I am done with this. Like, why is this messaging still acceptable for women? And so I wrote a whole LinkedIn post about nothing about wearing tampons and pads makes you feel confident, and nobody needs to be fresh. It's a natural thing. And how is this still messaging in 2023? And, you know, of course, tons of women are like, oh my God, thank you so much. Finally, all of it. And I think that a lot of people would shy away from that because it's obviously a touchy subject. Like, not one man has commented. But I just feel like I was so impassioned about it, I didn't even want to think about it. I was like, I am writing about this. I am putting it out there. I am tagging CBS. And we're going to see what happens.
Yeah. So that's conviction marketing. That's, you know, like, I'm convicted about this messaging that makes no sense, right? And that's
correct.
And it's stale. And we need some confident, fresh messaging.
I mean, I so many other things could come to mind in this kind of messaging. And one friend is like, you should rewrite this for them. I was like, I'm going to give them free anything. I'm like, they want to hire me to rewrite this ad, they can do that. But yeah, so I think things like that, anything that just speaks to a struggle or just something universal that we are just fed up with, are the things that I always get most excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so fed up with women undercharging for their services. And a few weeks ago, I wrote that post that said, overcharge for your services.
I love that.
And I was like, yeah, I'm serious.
I was once told, if you're not a little uncomfortable with the quote, it's not high enough.
Yeah. And that's what was the purpose of the post. It will feel like you're overcharging, but you're not. You know, you're just stepping up into the real value that you provide. And it's systemic because, you know, women in general don't get a lot of attaboys or attagirls because it's just not the culture that we grow up in or that we function in. So at this point, I would love to know if someone has been listening to this podcast and is either in transition with their business or has a small business, and they know their messaging is kind of wah, 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 I'm sounding just like everyone else. I'm like, and the school teacher and Charlie Brown are like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
And you want something that is more spot on and resonates and attracts those ideal people, repels the wrong ones. How do they get started with you?
So they can reach out to me at, you know, morethanwordscopy.com is my website. I have a newsletter that goes out every other week, and I promise you will never get any newsletter that says five ways or three things or anything like that. It is not a traditional marketing newsletter. I work with individuals. I do personality branding packages. I have done with you content sessions where we get on a Zoom for an hour or 90 minutes and I do most of the work, but I get to ask you questions and we can bang out your content. Those are the two best ways. And then I also have a new product that's actually coming out. I think it'll be out by the time this podcast airs. I'm doing my first trilaboration. So I wish, again, loving to make up words like you, Deb. I'm joining forces with Elise Benin from Marketing Mentor and Lisa Mullis from Paraphrase Communications. And we have created a Profit from Your Personality digital bundle, which is essentially three of our digital products. Mine is my personality brand light bundle, which helps you figure out your brand. Lisa's going to help you put personality into like your headlines and all of your messaging. And then Elise's proposal Oreo strategy helps you win the proposal and get clients. And all of this is so you find people you actually like to work with. And you can find that at marketing-mentor.com. Or just go to my website and I'll be promoting it.
Marketing-mentor.com. And we'll also put that in the show notes. And I know some of my clients are going to want to download, especially that Oreo proposal.
Yes. And we are doing a live training May 31st. Join a live training. And we're actually going to walk through all of the components of it in real time, which I think will be awesome for people. So it's not just another digital thing that you buy and use. We're going to actually show you how to put it into practice.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with our listeners here today. My friends, you need to stand out. You need to stop the scrolling. You need to infuse some personality into your brand. And Danielle is your woman. She is a close colleague of mine. We both hang out in New York City. So she is a trusted colleague and someone I admire and respect. So thank you so much, Danielle, for being here.
Thank you. So fun.
So fun. So fun. And that's it for now, my friends. We will see you next time on Life After Corporate. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.